My name's Barry Pugh, and I live in Kent. And my background is I'm an author and researcher. So I've been an author for about 7 years and a researcher probably for about 15 years.
Okay, well, what about professionally before that? What were you up to?
Professionally before that, I was a group manager in the motor trade.
So is that sort of selling second-hand cars, new cars, or what?
Well, do you know, people for some crazy reason think I'm a car salesman. No, what I did is I run a lot of parts departments throughout Kent and Sussex. And in fact, at one point I was looking after 9, which was the largest of anyone in my field in England. So I was pretty proud of that, as you can imagine.
I would like to ask you also what you make of the motor industry. It's something that after the war, we were manufacturing thousands and thousands of vehicles in Britain. So what happened?
Well, I think we got sort of taken over, didn't we, by the Japanese, the French, the German, much more. I think the UK is a country which over a period of our lifetime is slowly, deliberately gone down and down. I mean, my first love was a Rover. I mean, you can imagine what I thought when the Rover company totally disappeared. So,
So what do you make of the whole disappearance of manufacturing? I mean, I personally, it's interesting chatting to you from the automotive industry. I was brought up in the aviation. And we've seen exactly the same, you know, so where we had scores of aviation manufacturers consolidated into British Aerospace. Yeah. And then that basically shut down. They're doing almost nothing now apart from a bit of military stuff.
Yeah, no, I can't fully explain that because my research has tended to sort of a centre around government cover-ups. And I've sort of specialised in 4 particular cover-ups, which by coincidence are all females, some older, some younger, and I've been doing that for sort of about 24 years. But it was really the Madeleine McCann saga which really started me off more, because that didn't add up to me, and so I'm very knowledgeable on that. I could probably
Would you want to just run through those 4 if you can? I know in a nutshell sounds a bit of an insult, but if you can do it as quickly as you can, sum those 4 up.
Yeah, I think 97, the obvious one, Princess Diana. And then 2 years later, the well-loved BBC presenter, who, of course, is from your way, Jill Dando. And then 8 years after that, 2007, we had the little girl that disappeared in Portugal, Madeleine McCann. And finally, 9 years after that, the strange disappearance on the streets of West Yorkshire, the murdered, alleged murder, MP Joe Cox. So those 4 I've tended to specialise in, but of course, although I've virtually finished most of the work with those, what's come up now has taken great preference because it's a concern about humanity.
So could you just sum up, the first 2 particularly, can you just sum up what you've dug up about Diana and about Jill Dando?
Yes, well, I think Princess Diana, I think in a summary, she knew too much. You know, there's lots of talks about was she pregnant and did she know more. I'm pretty certain, first of all, one, she wasn't pregnant, although they try and make you believe she was. She certainly knew too much. I think she, first of all, got involved with the landmines in Bosnia. That wasn't a good move because she got friendly with Bill Clinton. And just before her death, Bill Clinton was supposed to sort of ratify the non-existent of sort of landmines and all that, but he did in fact go ahead with continuing it, whereas he virtually promised Diana he wouldn't. So that probably didn't help her, but I think my opinion is that shortly before she died, and remember she did predict her own death and she was 100% accurate, shortly before she died I think she was going to reveal more about the royal family, which of course never came out because she disappeared. But it was a total setup job, in my opinion. They had a window opportunity in the month of August 97, and it was an inside job between 3 countries, Britain, America, and France.
Okay, but the bottom line is, what evidence have you actually got that it wasn't just an accident?
Well, I've done substantial work on it, along with people who have done as many books on it, but there's some are more reputable than others. The evidence is such, Tony, that it would take a long time to go through it. But briefly, Mohammed Al-Fayed himself did a better job than the police, because he employed his own detectives. And obviously the world's nearly forgotten. But just to take one thing, if you remember, the owner of the Fiat Uno was actually, in fact, an MI6 employee. And he was mysteriously found gassed in his own garage in the south of France. Now, that was a man who used to talk quite a lot. And my research has shown that just before he was gassed, he was quite boastful. And if you're a boastful person, you can't keep your mouth quiet so much. So that was Princess Diana. And then the Jill Dando one, of course, we've been led up the garden path there, talking about someone from Bosnia sort of murdered her. And of course, poor Barry George, or aka Barry Bolsara, because he liked Freddie Mercury of Queen. He was like the fall guy. And if you recall, I mean, this is 22 years ago now, but if you recall, a strand of Jill's hair was apparently found in his raincoat. Well, of course, you don't have to be a genius to work out that that could easily be put there. So he's put away in jail for 8 years. He gets freed on appeal, basically because his sister kept fighting for him. And of course, after 8 years, most people's memory has forgotten about it. But the proof of the pudding is the fact that 14 years later, no one's been arrested or charged or anything for her murder. So it's unresolved.
Well, that's at least half of those figures anyway looked at. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you're also particularly concerned about what's been going on with the COVID-19 pandemic, plandemic. First of all, do you think it's a pandemic or a plandemic? And if so, why?
Well, it's a scandemic, in fact, Tony. I tend to use the word scam because there's considerable proof that it is a scam. And I think that in general, it's been carried out by vast numbers of people have been, I suppose the word's hypnotized, really, by sort of fear. I think that four-letter word fear has done it. And once fear hits you, you sort of become submissive. When you become submissive, you do what you're told, and once that kicks in, you become ill. And of course, once you're ill, you could die. And I think that's how it's been carried out. I think people, in my opinion, are being perceptually programmed, and they're moving in a trance, and that they don't know it. They've sort of been led by a sort of a well-organized propaganda campaign that's drawn on our fear of disease and death. And once people fear that, they will do anything. It's a bit like saying to someone, look, you won't die if you put your head in the oven. Well, of course you will, but they'll probably do it. And, you know, I see these masked people now, because I'm so frightened, they walk past my house, they queue up at school, and I look along the line there, and everyone is wearing a mask before they enter the school grounds. And when they come out with their children, they forget to take the mask off. They get in their cars, still with the mask on, when the masks are totally useless. In fact, they're bad for your health. You don't get enough oxygen in. It'll poison your cell membranes. And more importantly, the carbon dioxide that you breathe out, which usually goes to plants, etc., you're breathing that back in. So, of course, by the end of this year, and if you recall, the beginning of the year, it really started the majority of people wearing the masks in the shops and out of doors. But that's got worse and worse. And the elderly generation, they seem to wear more tight-fitting masks because they have more fear. So you will find by the end of the year, it'd be pretty easy to ramp the figures up, because they will have respiratory problems. I've got no doubt at all that the masks will kill people eventually. I had a contact with a German scientist who he analysed a mask which was worn by a 24-year-old just for the morning of our work, so 4 or 5 hours. and he discovered 82 different types of bacteria and mold on a mask. Why would you want to wear a mask? There's no purpose behind it.
Well, there is, because we know that surgeons wear masks, don't they, to stop themselves, you know, breathing and infecting a patient, for example, that they're operating on.
Yeah, well, that's slightly different types of masks. And of course, not for a long period of time. And it's not sort of on a daily basis. But, you know, we're now wearing masks on a daily basis as much as possible because we're frightened. The surgeons don't have that sort of fear. I don't know about what exactly would the difference of the masks the surgeons wear, Tony. You know, you're quite right. But I know the masks that the cheap masks that people are paying and the fashion masks which are going on will eventually give you respiratory problems. There's no question about it. You know, I could probably talk a great deal about face masks, but there's so much to sort of cover.
Okay, well,
what it is, a lot of people don't realise that, for example, 6 years ago, there were a method for testing for COVID-19 was patented by a chap called Richard Rothschild. This was with a Dutch government organisation. Now, I don't know if you actually realise what I've just said. 4 years before the disease even existed, a testing method for COVID-19 was developed. I mean, that is a fact. It's irrefutable. Now, and I could prove it. Now, millions of COVID-19 test kits were sold in 2017 and 2018. Now, as you know, the COVID-19 disease appeared in China towards the end of 2019. This is how it got its name. It was named COVID-19, which is an acronym for Coronavirus Disease 2019. Now, if you look at some data from the World Integrated Trade Solution, or WITS for short, everything these days has been shortened, hasn't it? It actually shows something quite astonishing. It actually states in 2017 and 2018, 2 years before COVID-19, hundreds of millions of test kits were distributed worldwide. Now, this baffling data was discovered on September 2020. But then on September the 6th, the day after it was put on the internet, the WITS suddenly changed the original description, which was COVID-19, into the rather vague medical test kits. Now, in trade matters, this is not allowed because you always have to be specific. There are many types of different test kits for different diseases. The fact they removed the specification COVID-19 after this data became known worldwide proves they don't want anyone to know about it. But they forgot to delete one detail. The product code for these medical test kits is a particular number, which means COVID-19 test kits. So this absolute critical information was uncovered and was revealed by a lot of people at the time.
Well, maybe it was just a mistake, Barry, and they had to change it because they'd made a mistake.
Well, mistakes these days, Tony, are being called coincidences. And there's a difference between the word mistake and coincidences, but there's so many coincidences, there must be a global disease of coincidences. I mean, you can still download a PDF that shows the original data of that. And also, there's also data which, you see, the average person hasn't got the time or inclination to do any research. Now, if you bothered, you'd find out that the COVID-19 project is planned until 2025. How do I know that? Well, the World Bank shows it. But who bothers to look at the World Bank? Who bothers to look at the World Health Organization? I mean, it's a nightmare surfing around the World Health Organization.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily surprising the World Bank has got, you know, say a 5-year plan after this pandemic started in order to deal with it. That's just normal, surely.
No, I'm not sure if I agree with that, because how can the World Bank, for example, predict that the expected project closing date is going to be during the spring of 2025. I'm not sure if I agree that. And then you get the you get Tony Fauci in America. He guaranteed a pandemic within the next 2 years in 2017. I mean, he actually said there is no question there is going to be a challenge for the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases. I mean, how could he guarantee a surprise outbreak to happen during the first term of Donald Trump's administration? How did he know that? I mean, that's fact. And then you have in 2018, the year after Fauci guaranteed a pandemic, you had Mr. Bill Gates. He publicly announced that a global pandemic was on its way that could wipe out 30 million people. Now, he said that in 2018. How could he know these things?
Generally speaking, it sounds to me like you're a conspiracy theorist who is theorizing that maybe, I mean, I just like to, if you had the chance to talk to someone with their mask queuing up to pick the kids up from school, what two or three points would you use to say, actually, you think that there's more to it than this?
Yeah, I suppose a lot of it, Tony, depends what I've been thinking about that day. What I've been doing, but I think one of the first things I might probably say would be, do you know that there hasn't been one scientific paper across the world which actually proves that the virus has been isolated or purified? So if it hasn't been, there cannot be a virus.
Well, I would say to you, yes, there has. There's been scores of them who have actually sequenced the genome of this and printed it and published it. So, you know, viruses are quite complicated. I mean, obviously not as complicated as humans, but it's quite a big, long sequence. And it's, well, I mean, two or three pages of a report. But I've seen several of them where which is what the scientists are all working to. So it certainly has been detected. It's been bred in tissue cultures, that is in vitro. It's obviously also been bred in human beings in vivo, which is what they call it, and it's caused all sorts of effects, and it's killed people. So, I mean, I don't think you would get very far by saying that the virus didn't exist.
Well, it appears that, you know, 2020 in particular, whatever you died of, it was put on the death certificates of COVID-19. And you had people sort of being run over by a bus, but it was diagnosed as COVID-19. I mean, one particular good example was a friend of mine across the road, who I've known for 30 years. I trust him, very honourable. And I said to him back last April, I said, well, do you know anyone who's died from COVID-19? And he said, oh, yes. So I said, who was that then? He said, oh, it's the father of my daughter's husband's dad, sort of business. So I asked him a few more questions about it, Tony, and it turns out in the end that he didn't die from COVID-19. When it was his turn to sort of his wife to sort of register the death, she was asked, would you mind if we put COVID-19 on it? She said, I don't care what you put on it. He actually died. He was alcoholic, in fact. And I suppose the best example I can give is my own mother, because sadly she died last year, and without the doctor seeing her, his first line on the notes was strong suspicion of COVID. How could he know that? He hadn't seen her for nearly a year. So I can't agree with that, Tony.
So if these two people potentially, and we've had people on the program who have said that that COVID-19 was on their loved one's death certificate, and it proved afterwards that it was there falsely. But that doesn't mean to say nobody died of COVID, does it?
Well, I have yet to meet anyone who dies from COVID, because when I ask them half a dozen questions, it turns out they haven't. And yet each one of these people I've spoke to, they've accepted COVID on the death certificate. I've got the same problem with my own mother, even today. Still going through it. They want me to register the death. I say, no, I'm not going to.
Well, you can. The only thing you can, as far as I can see, you can actually do is to order an inquest, and they can review it at an inquest. But anyhow, look, the main point here, really, though, is what do we do about all this? You know, what's... What's the plan, if there is one at all, Barry?
Yeah, there is a plan, and this is, I'm glad you said that, because when I do talk to people, they say that same question, Tony. They say, well, what can we do? They don't expect me to come up with anything, but far from it. There's three main things. They sound easy, and as I tell you each one, they get harder. The first one's very simple. We have to wake up. We're fast asleep. Once we wake up, we then got to grow up. We're acting like children. Now, once we wake up and grow up, this now is the hard bit. We have to find the courage to stop this menace, because it's going to affect humanity. The end game really is good against evil. And it's a particular point in time which people can't accept, because we're living through it. And people also can't understand how authorities can be so evil. They are. If you just researched the current Prime Minister's father, we'll use the word coincidence again. 41 years ago, Mr. Johnson's father wrote a fictional book called The Virus. Must be another coincidence, Tony. So if people bothered to spend 20 minutes researching Stanley Johnson, the game would be up, because they would know exactly what Stanley Johnson gave his life to. So obviously his son is going to carry on, just like Bill Gates carried on with his work from his father. So we go back to your question a few minutes ago about, am I a conspiracy theorist? Well, I think you need to go back to the onset on where those words came from. They were introduced in the mid-60s after the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And it was deliberately done. So they knew there would be queries on that. So therefore now, these days, anyone who queries anything against the agenda is known as a conspiracy theorist. And once someone's brain thinks that, the next thing they think is, oh, the chap's are crazy or a raving lunatic. And that's my answer about conspiracy theorists. Usually, a conspiracy theorist, in my opinion, usually tell the truth. And I think if people actually used just one word, invert, when they get the news from the BBC and the radio and the media, if they want the truth, just invert it. They'll get the truth.
That's actually what people used to do in Soviet Russia, isn't it? But look, you're telling people to wake up and grow up. I'm afraid for most people, they are going to see you as being annoying and patronising. They won't take any notice of you because you're talking down to them.
Well, I can only, if they want to carry on talking to me, of course. I mean, I'm just telling them that. And I take your point. It's going very hard in. I try and give an example about how history is repeating itself, because if you go back 85 years, approximately, just before the outbreak of World War II, we had the introduction of air raid shelters in London, on the streets, in the parks. Now, fast forward 85 years, you had the Nightingale hospitals. Now, as you know, or as everyone knows, they were never used. So when the government was asked to explain, well, why have you built these and there's no one there? And they quickly had to come up with an answer. So their answer was, oh, there's a shortage of nurses. Plus, you also had gas masks introduced just before the outbreak of World War II, when there was no hint of a gas leak. Fast forward, what have we got? We've got face masks. So I maintain it's history repeating itself. Because if you think 85 years ago, now you add on about 10 years, and why I say 10 years is because you've got to allow for a child's mind, and I'm being kind here, he's got to be at least 10 till he's got a pretty reasonable idea of anything. So 85 plus 10 is 95. So there can't be that many people about who really give much concern about what's going on. So 95 years old, they've either got dementia or they're in a home, they couldn't give a monkey's. So I'm maintaining history is repeating itself, which is follows all through history. History does repeat itself. The wars, they were planned. It's all been planned. Of course, that sounds very conspiracy theorist again. I know that, but I maintain that conspiracy theorists in general speak the truth. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Everything I say can be proven.
What about the future? Because it does look as if young people in Britain, not only with the economic situation as it was before and employment prospects and the lack of industry, but also now with the whole new kind of COVID economic crisis, there isn't much of a future for them. They must be thinking as they come out of university with all this debt, what am I going to do?
Well, you're absolutely spot on. I'd like to give those sort of people some good news, but I'm also a realist. I haven't got the good news for them unless the only way this can be ended, and of course you have so many people burying their heads in the sand, they're just thinking, oh, eventually it'll go away. Obviously, they thought that the month of June things would be improved, but I knew it wouldn't. Now we've been stalled till July, and by that time we're halfway through summer. But the only way it can be ended is if we, the people, end it. And we can do basically two or three simple things and it will end overnight. But people won't do them because they're in fear. Now, you're going to ask me, I guess, what are these things? Well, the things are, first of all, one, you've got to say no. You've got to stop this social distancing absolute nonsense. And you've got to stop wearing the face mask. If we did that tonight, the whole picture has changed because we are giving our power away. You and I, Tony, we're very powerful people. But if we carry on like this, we're going to give all our power away. And these people imposing this upon us are using our power to carry on with their evil. We have to say, no, I'm not going to have any more of this. I'm not going to go along with this. I mean, people still walk out in the road when they see me coming. They must think to themselves, well, this guy doesn't look like he's going to move out the way, so I'll move out the way. They don't hear the cars coming. Often I see people, you know, nearly getting run over. Or they hide into a bush, and when I come past them, they look at me and they expect me to say, thank you very much. No, I'm not going to say that. They've chosen to hide in a bush. Fear again. They've got to stop this fear. I think there's a behavioural insights team which the government have given millions of pounds to. I think it's based in Downing Street now. I'm not certain of that, but people can check that. This behavioural insights team is absolutely crucial to this scandemic.
Yeah, they're called the Nudge Unit.
Yeah, the Nudge Unit, Tony. Yeah, I believe you're right. Yeah, and I think there's a little book on nudging. Yeah, it's very sinister. Because they know exactly what people are frightened of. And they know if they can get people to be locked down, hundreds of millions of healthy people, to insist they wear useless masks, to tell them to avoid human contacts, to destroy economic lives of people, which is going to create vast suffering, you're asking for it. And then you have all these ridiculous tests which are going on. Talk about a money earner. I mean, that really aggravates me. The PCR test. I mean, no one bothers to research it. I mean, the inventor himself, Tony, has stated, unfortunately he's dead now, but he stated, and it can be found, it cannot test for the alleged virus or any virus. So therefore, all the numbers of cases and deaths are based on nothing. In my opinion, they're conjured out of thin air. It's a massive act of magic. Now,
well, also, though, I mean, what about, don't you think you're kind of counterproductive in your way you're dealing with people with masks and social distancing? I mean, surely when they come up to somebody that's not wearing a mask and is not social distancing and you sort of barge past within a few inches of them, apparently, you know, regardless of the virus, don't you think that they start thinking to themselves, well, actually, I don't really like these people that don't wear masks. And that makes them almost more entrenched into mask wearing.
Well, first of all, I don't barge past people. You know, I keep my sort of distance. I did say a few minutes ago that, no, I don't move out the way for them. They choose to move out the way. I mean, I've even got my closest friend, who I was best man at his wedding, godfather to his children. He's so frightened, he won't let me come around his house. So I have to respect what he says that. We go out for a walk, but I can't come around his house. And his wife, who obviously I say I'm godfather to the children, but his wife has only today she's told me how annoyed she is with me because I advised her husband, my closest friend, and their children not to get the vaccine. So, yes, you lose friendships over it, unfortunately, but our friendship is strong. So, of course, we won't let this happen.
Well, but, I mean, the other thing is, of course, it could even split up families and marriages.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that has happened on many occasions. Absolutely. Because you get people who have their opinions and the other people can't see that. No, you're absolutely right, which is it's all part of the plan. They want to. It's called divide and rule, isn't it? It's been going on for centuries.
So whose plan is it, Barry?
it's the plan of a few people. I can't give you names, but the only names I can give you are the spokesmen who are very, very wealthy. These people, they're acting for people who are behind the scenes, people who don't need to be named, but. You know, you've
well,
got
come to... on, I'm trying to get you to name a few names. So who is it that we can, you know, maybe will pop up on the TV that we shouldn't be trusting?
Oh, how many names do you want me to give who you shouldn't trust? Let's start off with America. Well, it's pretty easy. Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Anthony Fauci, Joe Biden, England, Matt Hancock, Boris Johnson, Chris Whitty, Patrick Vallance. Most of the MPs, Sadiq Khan, how many more do you want? There's no end of them because many doctors, many nurses, all frightened of losing their jobs. If you remember, at the start of this pandemic, in America, the doctors were asked to sort of diagnose COVID when it wasn't, and they got paid exceptional amounts of money. So it's a complete scam, Tony, in my opinion.
Well, look, I mean, you're one of the retired, should we say, politely elderly generation. Have you noticed, you know, what type of people is it amongst the elderly? Because it's supposed to affect the elderly more than anyone else. And yet you apparently are not afraid of it. So what is it that separates the types of people, do you think, who are, you know, very, very nervous and worried about COVID from those who are saying, well, actually, this disease isn't very dangerous? I mean, I'm asking you particularly about, you know, your circle of friends, elderly people, you know.
Well, nearly all my friends do not think like me. I think that they listen to the BBC and they buy a paper every day. The paper, of course, the papers have been bought. In my opinion, because the BBC has stated they will not allow any discussion with someone who is against the narrative. Now, I thought the BBC was supposed to be impartial. Doesn't sound very impartial to me. But in answer to your question, I think through a campaign concocted of fear and confusion, that's induced obedience. And the UK, Tony, a very obedient country, more so than other countries. So I think we've been told through complete repetition 24 hours a day that this virus is going to kill millions of people, so people are frightened of catching it and possibly dying, so they will do anything to avoid that. So if they're told to put a mask on, they put a mask on. If they're told not to have people around your house, they won't have people around the house. So to me, it's just nonsense.
I suppose people are used to trusting the authorities, and maybe the authorities have changed over the last 20, 30 years.
No, authorities have lied to you for as long as we've been alive, Tony. It's just they do it in a way where, they lie, but get away with it because people believe in them. But when you think most of these top organizations haven't been officially elected, the World Health Organization, it wasn't elected by anyone. It's self-elected. But who knows that? I mean, when you think of the power they've got, Tony, you probably remember back in March, April, when the Director General of the World Health Organization, in one sentence, he virtually got rid of cash, because he stated that if you continue to use cash, you may get the virus. Look what's happened to cash now. You know, it's virtually disappeared. I mean, the leader of the World Health Organization is a criminal. But people don't bother because they think, oh, he's a good person. He's trying to get us out of this pandemic or scandemic, as I call it. No, he's not. He was caught out three times for covering up the cholera epidemic in his own country of Ethiopia. I think someone in Germany is suing him at the moment, actually. But he's a terrorist.
So do you think we've got anything to learn from, you know, the generations that remember the Second World War and from that whole episode right now?
Well, what we've got to learn is that we were lied to at the beginning of the Second World War, and we're being lied to now because we are in a war.
Are you trying to tell me that Hitler wasn't a menace?
Hitler was a political genius, but he was also a psychopath. And psychopaths are very bright people, but they lack empathy. You know, they don't give a monkeys about you or I because they're psychopaths. Absolute genius, Hitler was. I didn't know him personally, but he's a genius.
But in what way were we lied to about him then?
Hitler was a man who was part of a plan, which would take much longer to go through. That would take hours sort of thing. So we probably better not start there. But he was power hungry, like most dictators are. You think what happened with... who am I going to mention now? Well, I wanted to talk about the Iraq war, really, because we were lied to there. So why I wanted to mention that is because people got short memories. If they can just remember, not that long ago, 20-odd years, we were lied to then. We went into a war based on weapons of mass destruction. There were none. You know, and the person who did that, he I don't know how he sleeps at night, but he does. He's still about. How can you sleep when you've called?
Well, his name's Tony Blair, isn't it?
Correct. That is the correct answer. I don't know how Mr. Blair can sleep at night. You know, someone ought to arrest him, really, and he ought to be tried for war crimes, in my opinion. He lied. And people are lying now. It's the same. Governments have lied all through. You know, if someone said to me, well, give me a name who you think should be the next prime minister. I can't give you a name. There is no one. Probably yourself or myself, Tony.
Oh, well, no thanks.
But you've got to have someone you can trust.
I think, to be honest with you, Barry, I think you could grab a random tramp off the streets of London and put them in the Prime Minister's job. They probably do a better job than most of the supposed contenders. Anyway, what do you think about the role of Freemasonry? Do you think there is a role there? A lot of people pointing the finger at the Masons.
I tend to think about the Freemasons. Now, my friend over the road, very honourable man, I trust him. I know he's a Freemason. I've known him for about 30 years. I like him. I know his family. I'm familiar with his children. And I would say he's nowhere near the echelons of Freemasons. I think he's right down the pecking order. I liken the Freemasonry, Tony, to, I suppose, a little bit like a pyramid. I don't like describing things in pyramids particularly, but for the answer to your question of Freemasonry, it's only the people at the very top that actually know what's going on. I mean, my friend over the road, I did ask him, so I just wanted to check out. He's only about like level two or three, so he's probably a good person and has got no idea what's going on. So obviously there's good people there. A little bit like religious organisations like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. They're basically good people, but the people right at the top are not so good. But so Freemasonry, yes, the people right at the top of that, to answer your question, they would give me great cause for concern.
So what can we do about getting decent information? Have you got any suggestions for places on the internet or even in the mainstream press to get some decent info on what's going on and how to sort it out?
Well, absolutely. First of all, in the mainstream press, there is none. Not one. I used to think Richard Littlejohn was pretty good. He hasn't said much recently. And say Peter Hitchens, as we said earlier, he's caved in. And to a degree, Lord Sumption's caved in as well. You see, eventually they all cave in. Probably money, I don't know. But I think the best thing people can do is to look at reputable sites which talk sense. If something sounds right, it probably is right. But if something doesn't make sense, like what's going on, and because people are so confused, you hear that. You know, when I go in restaurants, people are talking about COVID the whole time. And they're saying the same thing. They're saying, I've had enough of this. You know, the rules change every day. But of course they do. That's deliberate. It's deliberate that you want everyone to be totally confused, because then you can be controlled more. So you need to find reputable places that talk sensibly. There's one area which I think is excellent. Do you wish me to mention it?
Yes, please.
It's a website called Off Guardian. Excellent. They do articles every day, first rate. You know, I would recommend that absolutely thoroughly. That probably one of the best ones out there. Everything they say, well, not everything, but in general, very sensible. They give you the facts, they give you the proof, they give you the sources. It gives you leads to what they say, so you can prove it for yourself. First rate. And you also got a retired doctor, who, of course, in recent times, he's had his he's been demonized by Wikipedia. When all this sort of started, he was sort of in the clear. But now they've put sort of false information on his Wikipedia now. His name is Vernon Coleman. He's got a great sense of humour, and he's a retired doctor, and he was very sort of upfront even when he was in his prime. He's certainly upfront now, and he's been banned from YouTube, but he's on other channels, but you've only got to look him up. And he makes sense. He gives you the facts. He probably goes perhaps a little bit over the top. It's you can get a bit upset because he gives it to you straight, but then so do I. But Off Guardian, Vernon Coleman, certainly worth looking at on a regular basis. And if people did that, I'd be surprised if they didn't start questioning everything else, and they'd leave their masks off, they'd stop this social distance and absolute nonsense, and they'd start saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And if we say that, it'd be over tomorrow, which is what everyone wants. But no,
okay. Off Guardian. OK, so we've got Vernon Coleman. We've got Off Guardian. Anywhere else?
Yeah. You've got a very good lady in Canada. Excellent. Her research is second to none. She worked out that break-in in Washington in January the 6th, just at the end of Mr. Donald Trump's reign, and when he got taken down by Twitter. Just imagine that for a moment, Tony. The president of the United States gets taken down by Twitter. And anyhow, her website, her name is called Amazing Polly. Very worthwhile. I would, those three.
Well, I suppose the point of taking it down, I mean, actually, Trump's tweets were, he was using almost to run the country. So that whole archive has vanished. That's the point, isn't it?
Correct, Tony. Correct, yes.
It's almost an Orwellian scrubbing of history.
Well, that's right. I mean, people could do not much worse if they looked at, as you mentioned, George Orwell's book. Now, I haven't actually read that myself. I know a bit about it. What people need to remember, although we all know it's called 1984, but probably what a lot of people don't realise is that it was made in 1948. Now, he was obviously an insider, like Aldous Huxley in 1932 with his Brave New World. But if they knew what was coming, you know, they knew about the internet long before it was a fact. They knew about mobile phones, and they've predicted what's going to happen next. I think was it Orwell that said about humanity? You imagine it, you're going to have a being stamped upon, you know, on your head. It's like a foot being stamping on your head, because if we don't do something about it, you know, humanity is going to be in big, big trouble. We're going to be enslaved. There'll be a vast, vast amount of fewer people, without question. Well, that's happening now, isn't it? Because if you look at Vernon Coleman websites, he actually gives you about every 4 or 5 days, he gives you an update on all the cases of deaths which have happened since the vaccination, which, of course, is never revealed by the media. So people are unaware of it.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? What we're getting on the press even now is the total of all the people that have died supposedly with COVID-19, not of COVID-19, but with it on their death certificate. We're still getting those totals today. We're not getting the totals that you've been talking about. So do we know roughly how many people have died after having the vaccine?
Oh, yes. I think what I'm going to say there is persuade or hope, coerce people into looking at that for themselves. It's all there. People need to start doing, Tony, half hour a day, their own research, and they will find all the answers. It's all there. It's just the inclination that people should have to want to save their families, because, you know, there's no backbone to people. There's no self-respect. We're allowing this to happen on the basis, oh, it'll go away soon, maybe July the 19th. No, it won't. There'll suddenly be a mutant variant somewhere. You know, it could be Cleethorpes, it could be Grimsby, it could be Bexley Heath. They'll do anything they can to keep us down. They've got us where they want us now. It won't end unless we end it.
Okay, Barry Pugh, thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure, Tony.